JoeCustoms.com is the home of the world's premier G.I. Joe customizing website. Its purpose, to learn, improve, share, entertain, and showcase the work of the customizing community, wherever and whenever possible, to whomever shows interest. We'll help the community. Wherever there's customizing, Joe Customs is there.
Joe Customs!
I don't think there's enough room for me and Joe's ego in this conversation.
All we need was Lance in your pants.
Steve, I thought, was short for Neville. The way he posted and all that, I thought, for sure, he was a girl.
The Joe Customs podcast, where you can hear way too much personal information.
Buddy of Joe Customs that's listening to this podcast, send Kevin Watts a cement block.
After a bunch of tears.
I always feel like I should get, like, the last word in, but instead I just get hung up on.
All right, recording again. Hi, I'm John P. Love, admin of Joe Customs. Shut up.
Hi, I'm Brad, TR101AL.
Hi, I'm Dan, also known as The Spectre.
Hi, I'm John, also known as P-Love. I'm the admin of Joe Customs. I'm Jeff, also known as Joe Michael, 70.
So, Joe, as you can see, this is going to be really laid back and heavily edited.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight, our featured guest is none other than J-Man, also known as
Joe Harris
from D&J Toys. Welcome, J-Man.
Yay! All right, thanks.
So exactly how many toy lines do you collect? Yeah.
Let's see. Too many. Mostly G.I. Joe. But, I do Transformers. I get into the Chat May stuff. I've got all the original Mask stuff. I have all of the original He-Man stuff. And I do the subscription for the new He-Man. I don't know, I do Marvel, Captain America stuff. Let's see. I got the Indiana Jones stuff when it came out. Pirates of the Caribbean. So, I just get too much. That's all it is to it.
You collect Star Wars?
It is. Yeah, I collect Star Wars. So, I'm, like right now, I'm standing waist high in the middle of a big pile of a bunch of stuff, so.
And I've seen bits of your collection, and dabbling in one of those lines is not what you're talking about. You actively pursue figures throughout the line, right?
Oh, yeah. I get a lot of extras, with Star Wars, I'll get two or three or four Stormtroopers, and then I've got probably, of all the different clone troopers, I guess I would say about 40, 50 of them of the different ones. Usually, if they come out with a better version, like, say, Darth Maul, and I have another Darth Maul, I'll take him and tear the original one apart if it's a better one that came out. And then the original one ends up getting turned into some custom products, so I do kind of cut down at least a little bit by being able to do that. But, of course, my custom pile is pretty bad, too, so.
Oh, yeah. On top of all of that, you actually customize them, too.
Yep. Yeah, I do a lot of customizing, and all half of the stuff that I do, I don't ever even take pictures of or anything.
See, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the fact that every time you post something, which is like, what, once every 6 months, maybe?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's phenomenal. You do great work. And I think what's even, what's amazing about it is it's such great work, and it only appears like twice a year, if that. Like, so much time passes in between, I forget that you even customize.
Yeah. In New Orleans, he dropped, like, a pile of casted parts on me. And I was like, yeah, I thought I'd give it a shot. When I give it a shot, I create a bunch of big bubble heads that aren't worth anything. You actually made some good parts. And not for sale, not for anything, just to kind of try it out. And it was, they were pretty good. I've got some use out of them.
Well, it's a lot of the stuff that what I do is if it's something that I'm needing to do, get into it to learn what I'm doing, and then I just do a bunch of cool stuff and try to play around with it to learn what I'm doing, and then I actually go into what I really was going to attempt. And, I like doing the gliders. I cast the guns and the little pod on the top and stuff. And I needed to learn how to do that before I started doing it. So I just started randomly casting whatever appealed to me. If it was a head that I might actually like to use more than once for customizing, rather than going and buying 100 of those figures, I can cast however many I want with the head. So I learned what I was needing to learn and moved on, but I need to learn a little bit more now because I'm getting into bigger stuff. So
before we get into the DMJ stuff, I just want to give you a shout out. Like, your main business, the one that, you know, your day job is t-shirt designs, right?
Yep. I own a t-shirt shop and print all kinds of different stuff. I've done tons of different things over the years, and that's my main thing.
I just want to give a shout out to you for that. I mean, you've produced the Joe Customs table t-shirts for the con, so everybody that was working the table had a t-shirt. You've helped Nova with his crystal ball shirts. You've helped somebody who wanted some Mahler tank shirts. You helped him out. You donated shirts to the site for sale to benefit the site. All proceeds, 100% of the proceeds went to the site. And on top of that, you've helped out with the design on the 3D lenticular business cards that we had.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep, I do whatever I can.
You've been doing tons of stuff for the site behind the scenes, but all in the graphics. And I want to thank you for that. I know I've done it privately, but the work is top notch.
Yes. Fine. Like I said, I support the site, and I don't try to seek out and get a pat on the back for it. I just like doing it. I enjoy the site, so I try to do what I can to help it stay around.
Dude, I don't know if I can continue this. I don't think there's enough room for me and Joe's ego in this conversation. Of course, I'm just kidding. You're like one of the site's greatest contributors and have been for quite some time. And so, yes, thank you from all of us. I speak on behalf of all the staff and all the members, but especially me, because thanks for the shirts and thanks for always stepping up.
And I even have to give your wife props. She's the one who came up with the Wounded Warrior. Her and Terry kind of, and you as well, kind of pushed that idea. And that's where it came from.
Yeah, she's got ideas herself, and she doesn't ever like to admit to having good ideas, but she always does. She's just one of those type that she likes to be laid back and not try, I guess, to take credit for stuff, but she's got a bunch of ideas, and I try to give her credit as much as possible whenever she comes up with stuff. I'll talk about one of the other things in a little bit, and one of the other things that I just got in the middle of and made, I think I can talk about it anyway. I don't know when would be a good time, though. The canvas, or however you say it, canvas.
Yeah.
Project.
You can blame me for that name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin Watts art project.
For that, so.
Oh, you just made one?
Yeah.
Oh,
I just made a Smurf tank, and it was actually my wife's idea.
Wait, I just want to interrupt for 1 second and just let you know, Joe, you haven't shown that on the site yet, right?
No, but by the time this actually airs, I think he's going to have pictures up, because he's already got it, and he's right. Told me he's about to do pictures, so.
Oh, sweet.
Very cool. Yeah.
So that's why I figure by the time this airs, it's going to be fine. But yeah, she's the one that came up with the idea. I was thinking about a couple different other things, and everything I kept coming up with, that was going to take me probably weeks to do. And she said, why don't you just do this? So, and I was able to hammer that thing out in like 2 days. So, and it came out looking pretty good.
Yeah,
so.
It is good. I've seen it. It looks great.
We're talking about the canvas art project. It's basically you use the version 1 HIS and use it as a canvas to do any kind of artistic variation of it. We've seen people turn it into the Mystery Machine. I don't know if I can say that. The 18 van. I did the Wizard of Oz, you know. And Kevin has done some crazy stuff like aliens out of it. And that's the idea. Try to take our artistic skills and put it out there. So if you've got a beat up version 1 HIS and you got a great idea of not just, you know, painting camel on it, but really doing an artistic vision of what else it could be, he'll gladly take them. It's just to show off the artistic styles in the community and beyond the community, because he's reached out to all other people. But enough pimping about him. Let's talk about D&J Toys.
Yeah, with that's just a project that kind of blew up on me. So. It originally was starting out with the Cobra Bass and Cabana Jack, David McGovern, those that know him, he was originally the one that wanted to do all of that. And he kept on trying to come up with a way to figure out how to get this cardboard base out there to the people, that instead of having to go to eBay, and there's so few that exist now, and they're like, what, $1,200 or more now on eBay for good ones?
Yeah.
So he wanted to get something that people could be able to enjoy. He kept hitting dead ends, and he was asking me different things to do, and I kept on trying to come up with stuff. We just kept hitting dead ends left and right, and finally I came up with the idea because of the digital printers now that exists. So I was able to come up with the idea of printing the stuff out like that. We tried the cardboard idea, and the cardboard just looked bad. It just wasn't nothing that we wanted to even think about. That was what was going to happen anyway, as he was going to help me cut them out because of it being cardboard. It would have been easier. But once we seen how bad they looked, we started trying to come up with other ideas, and that's where the idea of the plastic came in. Of course, once we went to the plastic, it started having to be machine cut, and he didn't have the machines, and I have a bandsaw and all the other tools up here, so it kind of ended up leading into being something that I had to take over because it just got beyond really both of us. I just started rolling with it and trying to do them as best as I could, and it just, one thing led to another, and so many people was liking them. I just had to keep up as best as I could and just keep on making them, and there's a lot of people that waited for over a year for it. So, I mean, I started in 2008 doing them, and there was different people. It would be like 14, 18 people on the list at a time. And of course, once you got down to those last few, they're the ones that had to wait for so long. And the first few people, they got them within like a month or two. So once it started kind of slowing down, I started deciding to do all of these background displays, because a lot of people want a little shelf to be able to display the stuff with. It's just an easy thing to do, I figured. And something a little bit more than what some of the regular sites out there was offering, because I paint that little bottom, the little floor on it, and I'll put little plants in there and stuff like that. I mean, those are the people that are doing it, of course. I just wanted to try to get something that was ready-made that other people might enjoy. That was also kind of a little thing to help as a diversion to me from doing all of those bases over and over and over. Of course, once I was doing that, people started asking me about other things. So, and then I got into doing the replacement parts for the movie kit playset, because they came out with cardboard for some of those little pieces and all, and I started making plastic for all of that. And now I'm doing gliders. So it's just been a bunch of different things, and I'm still trying to add more stuff because I'm having fun with it. It's things that I feel would be great to have out there. And I've always kind of had a small dream of I'd like to work in the toy industry and all that. And really, I'm doing the t-shirt thing, and I know that's what I'm pretty much going to be doing all the time. And so I'm not going to leave that and to work for any toy company. That'd be a full-time job, and I'd have to dump that. So in a way, D&J Toys is a kind of a way for me to feel like I'm part of the toy industry. So, even though I'm not really, but it's fun. The new thing that I'm doing is that lab playset, and it's kind of like a Dr. Mindbender lab or evil scientist lab. It's just a little playset with a table that you can be able to put a zombie on or whatever and have your doctor working on him and act like he's the one that brought him to life, or anything. It's just a little fun thing. And I got other ones that I'm going to be playing around with and trying to see what I can do too. So that's pretty much where I'm at.
Joe, here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Your play sets that you made, do you have them in the gallery at Joe Customs?
No, I don't. No, I hadn't actually really wanted to. I don't really want to feel like I'm pushing my stuff and trying to say, come back. I don't know. I just always feel weird about a lot of that. But I haven't actually tried to put some of it where I guess it really needs to be so people can see it. It would just be a feature for other people to, I guess, know that it exists if they want to be able to go do something with it. So I may end up adding some of it there.
I think that would be a fantastic, I mean, it's not really a marketplace spot, but you've done some really cool stuff, and it would be cool to have it in our little museum area, you know?
Yeah, well, I'll talk with y'all about it, I guess, and see what to do, because, like I said, a lot of it, I'm not making really much of no money off of it, because, I mean, I try to charge as low as I can and make enough to where I'm putting money back into it, and it pays for itself. Basically, it's just a fun hobby to me is all it is. And it's just fun to be able to do something and put it out there and see people enjoy it. And it's something that I see that people want. And currently a lot of toy companies aren't offering. So, and I'm trying to see if I can get into more stuff, and I want to buy some other machines if I can, and do a little bit more advanced and do some 3D if I can, and different things like that. But I guess eventually it'll happen. Yeah. I got a CNC machine planned that eventually I'm going to get. It's probably going to be the first of the year now. I was hoping to get it before the end of the year, but I think I need to put it off just a little bit longer.
it's weird to think, like, I've heard, you know, the guys on What's on Joe Mind talk about the third parties and Transformers and Star Wars. And G.I. Joe, you know, we have our casters, but as far as doing third-party production stuff, you know, that's compatible with G.I. Joe but could work with other stuff, you're one of a handful. And you've been doing it for a while now.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing it now, like I said, since 2008, so. But because it's just me and I'm all doing it all by hand, like I said, I don't want to push it because I don't want to get so far behind on what I do actually put out. And plus, like I said, I don't know, I'm weird about the way I do stuff. I don't like to actually sit here and feel like I'm bragging and say, look what I can do. I don't know. I always feel weird whenever I do any of the stuff, even promoting or whatever. So, it's just fun. So, it's.
Hey, Joe, have you ever considered doing like modular sets where you can basically build the whole diorama? You know, have different walls that you can swap out, like maybe like an alleyway or, you know, a downtown set or, you know, something like that. I think that would really be a huge deal for the Joe community that would pay off for you as well.
Yeah, I've played around with the idea. Again, because I'm doing it by hand, and I got just a bandsaw and a Dremel and a table saw and a belt sander and stuff like that, and that's all I've got right now to work with. And so to be able to put the little notches in, you can't be as accurate as you need to be to make sure you get all of the modular sets together. And, of course, you could cast it, but like I don't really want to become a caster. I mean, there's so many people that's out there casting. I want to be able to do casting as an addition to what I do, but I don't want it to become the main thing. But that's where the CNC machine will come in. With that, I could be able to actually design in 3D on a computer, let it cut all of the pieces out of the plastic that I'm doing, and it'll make tabs and all that type of thing, and I could sell virtually anything, really. I mean, I can make all kinds of different things at that point. So,
Joe, have you given consideration to opening a manufacturing plant, hiring a bunch of young children to work for you?
I'd like to, I mean, I've looked at the idea of doing some of my original ideas as manufacturing it, but there's just so much involved in that. And I don't think really with our industry, with all of our collecting that we do and stuff, I don't think there's enough people out there to buy some of that type of stuff to where it would really be worth pursuing, though.
And besides, most of the collectors just wait for it to show up at Ross anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, my stuff would never go to Ross, so end up just being stuck with it. I guess I could make a deal with them, but but yeah, it's been what's that one company that used to have that one headquarters? I forget what they were called now.
Hasbro?
No. Yeah. No, it's that one company that you got like a bag of parts and you can build like a headquarters out of it. And I mean, I keep on wanting to think Razzleberry or something. I forget what they're called.
Everclear?
Everclear, yeah. I don't know how Razzleberry came from it, but anyway, it was Everclear.
Last time I drank Everclear, it sounded like Razzleberry.
But yeah, it's like that thing. That was a pretty good idea, and it was out there for people to get, but not a lot of people really actually bought it from what I've seen. So
the only place I ever saw it was like the JCPenney catalog or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember seeing it in any stores.
KB
Toys. It was on the websites, too, and on eBay and stuff like that. But
KB Toys Outlet. That's where I got mine. Ever, mm-hmm. And it was Eversparkle.
Eversparkle. Okay.
But, yeah. That's where I base a lot of ideas off of is different other third-party things that come out like that or knockoffs or whatever you want to call them. I try to base ideas off of that because I'm below that. So, I mean, I'm so far below any of the third party stuff like that, that if they didn't actually make it, I could never dream to be able to put something out there and know that it's going to just be the next big hit. So, and then look at, the Team Omega thing. I mean, they had some good ideas and that should have made it to market, but it's just so hard to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just what the whole problem is. It's just so hard to get stuff out there to market. I try to stay content with where I'm at and just doing that individual sales. And if it gets bigger and bigger and I see it getting bigger and bigger, that would be great. And I do what I can to try to keep up with it. But I doubt it ever would.
Dan, did you have any questions?
No, actually, you guys have covered everything really well.
Yeah.
Every time I had a question, somebody came up with it. I was like, I'm sitting here doing nothing now.
I was feeling you slacking. That's why I thought I'd give you a shot.
No, it's literally, every time I had a good question before it could get out of my lips, somebody else had it.
Sometimes when I get talking, though, I start just rambling.
So how'd you find Joe Customs, Joe?
Well, from way back, I mean, I was all the way back to the news group, so I was on, I've been online for quite a while. I was on CompuServe way back, so whenever I got bored with the news groups, the original owner with Jojo.com had the list, the pit. I was on that mailing list. It was all email-based at that time, and you send all the questions in, and then they compiled it, or all your comments, and then it got compiled in a big email and got sent out to everybody. And then that's when the Yahoo groups came about, and they moved it to the Yahoo groups. And I was watching the Bibblewac and seeing stuff on there, but I just never really posted because I didn't know really anybody that's on there. Started up, well, I signed on anyway, but, and I may have posted maybe once or twice every so often, but then whenever it turned over to Joe Customs, that's when the pit was just going downhill and Yahoo groups in general was going downhill. And I switched over to there because everybody from the pit was moving over and a bunch of other people I knew from other sites was coming on. And so from there on, I just stayed on Joe Customs, and I hadn't really, I posted other sites, and I've got a sign-on name at just about all of them, but Joe Customs. That's the only one I'm really actively on. And of course, Facebook, I mean. But yeah, I've just been around for quite a while. So, just been hanging out and watching things and all that. And I get involved when I can. So.
Of all the gliders you've done and all the themes you've done for different people on the side, what's been your favorite glider so far that you've made?
The one that I like the best, the look of it. I don't know, Adventure King's kind of neat. Because it's so plain and all that. It's, I don't know, sometimes whenever it gets to be too much, like the other ones has guns and stuff like that. And they're neat, I like them, but just the real simplistic of the Adventure King's neat. Well, there's two other ones that I'm working on right now, and I can actually say what they are. There are two that I'm working on for the Flag Point guys. Anyway, they're the Sky Striker and Battle Bear inspired versions. And they're kind of neat the way they look. Sky Striker has got the whole decoration of what Sky Striker looks like, and I put one little cannon on the side that would be similar to how the Sky Striker has that one small cannon on the front. The Battle Bear is going to have missile launchers on it. Of course, they're not going to launch. They're just going to be sitting there, but they will be removable missiles. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they look pretty neat.
So somebody requested a Battle Bear glider?
Yeah, I was trying to remember who... the podcast, I'm trying to remember. Right now it's coming to me as Flag Points. Yeah. Nice. The Flag Point guys requested those, and we had been talking anyway, and he was giving me this idea and that idea, and he had said that about those, and I said, well, why not? All right.
Now I you gotta do one based on the Ram with a big Gatling gun on top.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I got another challenge for you, Joe. By the time this airs, we're going to probably have a mascot for the site. How about a glider based on our new mascot, or for our new mascot?
Excellent.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be cool. I could even actually do that, and that would be an extra incentive to the winner, and they get a free one.
Whoa.
I was going to say number one, the first issue, autographed by J-Man. Comes as a gift.
Let's not go giving away stuff that I want.
You can get one too, but
yeah, but you'll get number two. That's what you get. Number two. Shit.
I'm just saying as an incentive. And that
did
way
you just drop my call?
No.
It was so quiet. I thought you guys dropped my call.
You need to stop doing cocaine. You're getting all paranoid on us.
But no, yeah, I'm trying to offer all kinds of different variations of the glider that's just fun stuff, because originally all we got was the two. I'm up to about eight different ones now, and I've still got more planned. I want to do a Crimson Guard one, a Steel Brigade one I've got on computer right now, and the Python Patrol and Tiger Force.
You should make a Raptor themed one. That way you can find a fly.
Well, I was playing around with an Ewok one, Ewok glider, and if I said no, don't do that.
How about a Batman one, kind of like from the animated series where his cape turns into the glider?
Yeah, it could be done. I've got a lot of people actually too that keeps on asking about that other version of the glider with the round fin on the back and off. A lot of people's asking me if I'm ever going to do those. I don't know if I will or not. They wasn't that popular, so I don't know. I can think of different ways it could be done, but I don't know if anybody would really want to display something like that. I guess if I get enough requests about it, I'll start looking into it, especially once I get that CNC machine. I mean, I can easily cut out the little pod that goes on it that holds all of the stuff together once you fold it up. But I don't know.
Two things, J-Man. I think, first of all, you should be putting those gliders in as vehicles on the site.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, if those are customs, you should be showcasing those things.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
And second, when are you going to move to foam and make these real glidable?
Yeah, a lot of people's asking that too. And I finally figured out the original foam that was used. So I had talked to Kurt Bazigian about it, and he was one of the designers of the original one. I had asked him where they got the foam from, and that's what he was telling me, that Hasbro originally went to a packing plant to the... Forgot what type of packing plant he said it was, but...
Doesn't matter, I'm going to edit it out anyway.
No, okay. But he had said about doing... getting the stuff anyway, and I had kept on looking and looking and looking. They told me the name of it, and once I found it, I found a place I can buy sheets of it. And it's like 4 foot by 8 foot sheets, and I can get a crap load of gliders out of that.
I've gotten those questions, like when we've set up a few of your, the Night Force one with the glow in the dark stickers, and other ones at the Joe Customs booth, and people go, oh, I wish these were made of styrofoam, and I'm like, why? So you could throw it and break it?
Yeah.
I'm getting weird feedback.
Yeah, I'm hearing a buzzing noise.
Yeah, it's often I'll hear it.
Somebody's got a giant mosquito in the house.
Brad?
Yeah.
Are we on speaker or anything?
I'm actually behaving tonight. I'm not customizing while we're doing this.
Well, we'll try to work through it. I'll try to edit it out in post, but if it gets bad, I might stop you guys. It's coming through the speakers.
Somebody's mic too close to the speakers?
Mine's in the same spot it's always in.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, mine too.
Mine's fully erect.
I'm sorry.
So he walked up to me and he said, I go both ways. And I said, good, go that way.
Wow. Does anybody have any other questions for Joe?
Just one. Living in Louisiana, are you an LSU fan?
Oh. No, I actually don't like football.
Oh, okay. I'll give you that.
I'm not a sports person, really.
That's right. Neither am I. Don't worry.
Joe, do you want me to cut that out?
I don't care.
I don't know if you have to fear for your life now.
No, I actively don't tell anybody.
I have other interests in sports.
I actively let everybody know that I don't care for their LSU. And
so, Joe, I got a question for you. Huh? Mint on card or loose?
Both. That's where part of my problem is. There's a lot of different stuff I get. Get one and keep it on the package. Anything G.I. Joe, I have been doing that, and that's where my trouble is. That's why I've got so much clutter, is because all the way back to when was it? I guess that was when the Toys R Us stuff was coming out. I started buying, if I wanted to open it, I'd buy an extra one so I could open it. If I wasn't planning to open it, I'd just leave it in the package. And there was just certain ones that I didn't care nothing about. And most of the Toys R Us stuff, I just bought it to half and I already had the original, so I wasn't really going to open it. So all that stuff's still sitting in the package. Just one of those things I had been doing for quite a while. I'm slowly trying to get out of it with some of the different things. Transformers, I finally got myself out of it. So, I was doing it with those for a while. I finally started selling a bunch of the stuff that's in the original package, and then I just try to stick with my open ones. And I'm slowly trying to sell off some of those now, too. That's where I'm at with my
I'm sure you listen to the podcast all the time, right?
Yeah.
And you're aware that we have all these different segments all the time?
Mm-hmm.
So if someone were going to ask you what's on your workbench right now, what would you say?
The customizing workbench. Workbench.
Right now, what's on my workbench, aside from, of course, the other stuff that I'm working on, my custom stuff, I have a Skeletor that I want to do. Have you seen the Darth Vader heads that they have been doing for charity, and they did a Skeletor one?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, I want to take the Darth Vader head for Skeletor for the plastic line, and I'm going to I'm going to make him into that head anyway. Make a figure out of that. And I've got Danger Girl and her sidekick that I'm working on. I want to do customs of those. I got a couple more zombies that I'm playing around with. Let's see, what else is it? There's a few little troops that I had in mind that I'm playing with and put together. I got like about probably 12 things right now that I'm actually working on. Now, as far as what I want to work on, I've got hundreds of things that I'll get done eventually. But yeah, I've got things I'm doing.
What about you, Jeff? What are you working on?
Nothing. Oh.
He's literally texting while we're recording. Show me works in progress.
Actually, I'm working on my October Guard vehicle. I'm working on a new Bishop. I'm working on a new Misty Knighthead. I'm working on a Spider-Man Shocker. I'm working on a, I don't even remember her name, Mirage? The Danny Moonstar New Mutant figure?
Yeah, Mirage.
Is that enough? I think that's enough, isn't it?
Sorry. Go ahead. It just got really squeaky there for a second.
Yeah, she's like, let's go back here again, though.
And that's everything. I hope you guys are excited to see it.
Hey, Jeff, what about an update on Castle Destro? We haven't seen any updates in a while.
Oh, God. I realized this week that I should have never spray-painted that son of a green. I should have spray-painted that black. I thought I could go back later and do a wash black, but instead of washing black, all it's doing is like knocking back the white. So no matter what I do, it's going to be green stone. It's never going to look like just rock.
There's a way out of that, though.
The last thing I'm going to do is take that son of a gun apart and spray paint it black.
You can get around that a little bit, though.
I'm listening.
Dry brush multiple shades of gray.
Yes.
Onto what you already have. Don't wash it. Just dry brush. Pick three or four shades of gray that are fairly close to each other. Get like
I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
All the cracks in all those different facades are green.
Ah, well, you know what you do then?
What?
A couple shades of green. Make it look like green stone.
I don't know, man. No, I'm not on your idea. I'm not poo-pooing your idea.
I'm just trying to help you out of it, that's all.
I'm just saying this thing is 6'7". All I'm saying is if anybody is going to take one of these on in their own life, do not spray paint it green. Go with black.
If it were me, I wouldn't dry brush with a craft brush. I would go get like a house brush, you know, the painting a wall. I'm being serious. And
I'm already doing that. We've moved way beyond the craft brushes with this thing.
One of the roller deals.
I'm there.
Okay.
I'm literally at the point where it's like, wow, I either have to let this live. I'm just kind of at the point where I have to let it live. I will say this though. I bought a pile of, Marvel Select bases off eBay and I'm ready to start on the interior. Let's put it that way.
What bases do you
get?
What types?
That Danger Room base. Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I wish I had 10 of those things. Also, the Thor base, I believe, which is like a piece of a castle. I wish I would have had 10 of those when I started this thing, too.
I think Dr. Doom came with a similar base. It was like a turret.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I look at it every day. Don't get me wrong. It's one of those things where I really have to be motivated because once I start, it's like a 4-hour thing before I can walk away. That's all, though.
Have you thought about using airbrush to get those cracks and crevices?
You have an airbrush?
Not at the moment.
Have you ever used an airbrush? This is not a trick question.
Yeah, I've used one.
I have an airbrush and I've never been able to get it to work. I've never been able to get it to work where it looks like it's not just me spitting paint.
That was going to be my question. Have you tried spitting paint at it?
What type of airbrush do you have?
I honestly couldn't even tell you. It's not one that hooks to a compressor. It's one that you hook to canned air.
Oh, okay.
And I think
tester.
Yeah, I think half of my problem is the fact that it is a canned air model. The other half is that I've never bought specific airbrush paint for it. I've always just tried to thin down like you know, Michael's acrylic paint, which never really thins down to be airbrush happy.
Well, actually, what I do with the gliders, if you've seen it, well, you have seen it, but I get acrylic paint that's used for oil painting, but it's actually acrylic. It's not oil. It's in tubes. And I take that and thin it down in for airbrushing.
What do you thin it with?
With just water. Just water. I'll put a little bit in and just keep on until I got it how thin I want it. And then just hook it up to the airbrush and just spray it like spray paint. And it works fine like that. I don't know if the can type airbrush would work.
Do you have to do
that? It's just that that's a higher, what I'm saying anyway, that's a higher quality of paint is what it is. And it thins more smoother than apple barrel paint and stuff like that. That's the only thing I'm saying.
Do you have to do that outside? So,
whenever I'm airbrushing?
Yeah, when you airbrush, can you do it indoors or you have to do it outside?
Yeah, I do it. I get in the kitchen floor and put like a barrier around me so that way any overspray just hits that and lay newspaper down and shoot them. So, and you can do it in the house, so you just need to do something about any overspray so that way you're not having to get a rag and clean all your furniture and stuff. But you can pretty much paint anywhere as long as you take the precautions for the extra paint that's gonna, because it's gonna be a vapor and it's gonna go all over the place, but you can kind of block a lot of it out. But you might want to try that. I mean, I can even shoot some pictures and send you as I'm, whenever I do it again, because I got, two that I'm about to paint. I can shoot, pictures of what I'm doing. So that way maybe it'll help you. And
I think that would be a fantastic idea. The only other person I know that's actively painting with an airbrush right now is Cap. Yeah, please.
I don't know how you say the name of the company. Pache, I think is the company. I mean, that's one of those high-end airbrushes. I got one of those. And then I have the tester airbrush. That's the cheap one that's like that you hook up to the can. And then I have another one that I got, Harbor Freight. And that one really a lot of times does everything I need it to do. The Harbor Freight one, it was only like $20 for it. And I can hook it up to my compressor and it does fine.
Do you hook it up to like a pancake compressor, or do you have a little tiny airbrush compressor?
I got one of the little small airbrush compressors that I hook it up to.
Gotcha.
One of those that just sounds like a lawnmower engine running.
I think you guys are on to something. All of a sudden, that seems like a doable idea.
Yeah, like I said, you just got to get higher quality paint a lot of times is what I've found, because I've tried running that apple barrel stuff, and I've even gotten some of the one that a lot of people like, that
Vallejo,
yeah. I've even gotten that and tried to thin down, and it ends up clumping.
I tell you that Connoisseur's Jewelry Cleaner is a great thinner for like the thicker acrylic paints. I mean, it's good as a brush cleaner as well, but you mix it up with the paint, and it just really thins it down, and you still have the color, you know, the solidity of the color when you use it.
Okay.
What's it called?
Connoisseur's Jewelry Cleaner. You can find it at Target or Walmart or, you know, any of the big boxes. And I think it's like $3 or $4 per container, but it'll last you for a while.
What's the base chemical in it, do you know?
I'm not really sure offhand, but it was a kind of a trial and error thing. You know, here I was spending $3 or $4 for basically, you know, brush cleaner at Michael's. And I'm like, you know, it said brush/jewelry. And I'm like, you know what? You know, they sell those at Walmart in a big container, and it's $5 for, you know, three times as much. I'm like, oh, I'll try it and see. And so I've experimented with it, and it's worked pretty good.
All right, I'm in.
What it comes down to, you just got to kind of play with all kinds of different things, and then you eventually find something. So
that's what she said.
Give me just a second. I can tell you the active ingredient.
I just had to slip one of those in there tonight.
That's Oh, you beat me to it.
That tube acrylic is something that I've never actually played with before, so you might be onto something right there.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. I've just never played with it. Never tried it.
Yeah, that's hanging over there in the actual art section where all the brushes are in. So.
Not in the fake art selection where
I'm saying as opposed to where the t-shirt paint and all of that's at. There's a lot of people go over there where the apple barrel is at, and it's just all those little bottles of paint and stuff. But then you go over there to the oil paint section where the canvases are and all the high quality brushes and stuff. And then they got your paint right there in that same area. That's the paint that I'll get for those type of projects. I mean, I've tried so many different things before and it just never worked. And I was about ready to throw my airbrush out because it was clumping and puddling up and doing all kinds of stuff. And I just figured, well, I must not know what I'm doing or something. And then once I tried doing the other, it worked. And what he was talking about too with the mixing the other into it, that sounds like it would work good too.
Wait, back up. The compressor that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Is that necessary? You think that a guy can use a can, or you think it's got to be a compressor?
I don't know, really. I'm thinking myself that it needs probably a little bit more power than the can's capable of giving, because using one of those can to hook it up to, you're not getting a perfect consistent flow of air going. No matter what.
Do you think that a guy could use a pancake compressor or
you can get that because I've got one out in the shop that I have tried hooking up to, and it works. The only thing is you just got to figure out your flow on pressing the trigger.
Yeah, I would practice with water way before you put paint in that thing.
Yeah. I put paint in it, and I've been able to paint with it before and all that, but if you go too hard on pressing that down, it's going to be a full flow, and it don't work whenever you do that, because it's just too much power.
What's one of those little compressors cost?
In my area, anyway, I've seen them for, like, about $23.
What? And I thought they were, like, $100 jobbies or better.
Not for these little bitty ones.
Is it just like a fish tank compressor?
It's, let's see, how big of a diameter is that thing? It's only about 8 inches, maybe 9 inches round. And it's only probably about, 12, 13 inches long. That's about it.
So. Wait, what are we talking about?
It doesn't hold. But it doesn't hold air, though. It's just constantly pumping the air. There's no tank on it. So it's just continuously pumping the air out of it. So that's...
Back up. Did you just say taint?
No, I said tank.
Tank. Yeah, a lot of people that would have been funny.
You know, I've... The people who use the airbrushing, you know, we Matt Brandenburg, when he was on, he talked about, like, being able to do stuff, really controlled paint, and do, like, you know, Iron Man's arc reactor on his chest and being able to get that fade so it looks like glowing light. So I've always been interested in that. But every time I look into it, the people make fun of the canned compressors.
I'll shoot a picture of the one that I've got and post it. I'll make a special section in the... general customizing area and just say for people airbrushing, here's what I use, and I'll shoot pictures of the different things I've got.
We're so like clueless about that. Like I've looked into it, but I haven't really looked into it. I love it. Whatever you put up, I'll put in the wiki.
Yeah. Okay. Tutorial. Definitely a tutorial.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you might have just saved me from being really sad about my Castle Destro, dude.
Yes. Really simple to do once you get the stuff and you play around. You just gotta be willing to, kind of like being on an art program on the computer. You gotta know that the original image that you have that you pulled up, you can do whatever you want to. You're never gonna mess it up. So you gotta kind of play with something and just keep on. You're not gonna mess up the airbrush. I mean, no matter how crappy of paint you put through it, it's not going to be messed up. You can always run the alcohol or whatever you need to through it to get it to clean. So just keep trying different things and try different thicknesses. I mean, I've even actually stabbed the nozzle down into the paint straight out of the bottle and have sprayed before. kind of gummed up the airbrush a little bit, but it gave me what I needed for one of the things I was working on, and I was able to hurry up and get it done. It was a project I needed to finish. There's different ways of doing things. You just got to actually go ahead and do it.
Where'd you get that airbrush compressor at?
The compressor that I got was from, it was a hobby store here in town. Let's see. I forget what their name is. They're out of business now anyway, but they were just a local company. But I had seen the same one at like Hobby Lobby and places like that. And like I said, I've seen them at like 23 and 26 up to, I think as high as for a little bit better of a version, I think it's been only up to about $45 for one that small.
Yeah, if you could take pictures and post it, or if you got a link and put that up there too, that would be awesome. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, yeah. if you could private message me that before, it'd be most appreciative.
Yeah, do that tonight.
My birthday's coming up.
But yeah, it's been nice to have. When I was younger, back whenever I originally got it, I had gotten it to do models with back then, and my dad actually is the one that bought it for me then, and because he was friends with these people at that shop. But anyway, I had gotten that thing, and he bought it for me on, I think it was a birthday. Yeah, it was a birthday present. I was real big into model building back then, and I kept on hand brush all of the different things, and I get a car and hand brush it, and of course you could see all of the brush strokes in there. So he got me that to help me be better. That, I mean, that's kind of my origins from what led me into where I am now with all of my customizing. I mean, I started out doing all of that, but the airbrush, like I said, it's just been one of those things I would use here and there, and every time any kind of project comes up, if I can't brush it, I'm not afraid to go grab that airbrush and do it.
And like you said, if it gunks up, you know, just
You never know what's going to happen on a Joe Customs podcast, folks.
Blame it on the alcohol. I'll work on that.
What about just using straight out spray paint right out of the can and sheeting it on there?
That would have worked about a year and a half ago. No, I'm not being facetious. I mean, like, if I would have done it when it was in its raw parts, that would have been just fine. And as a matter of fact, the reason I went green was because I based the whole thing off Castle Grayskull, which was molded in green. So I spray painted everything to match that, which was just stupid. I should have just spray painted Castle Grayskull black. But anyway, now that it's all screwed together, it's all molded, there's no taking it apart. This thing goes, trust me, there's no taking this apart. So if I start spray painting, it's going to spray paint things I don't want spray painted.
But couldn't you mask it off?
No. I don't remember the last time I posted pictures of it, but if you look at it, there's no masking it off. I've got all those Fisher Price castles screwed to headquarters pieces, and it's such a, I don't even know what the word is
for it. Get little cardboard and build little frames up around areas you don't want it to go. And
hey, are you busy next week?
Here's a funny thing. Come and see me.
Have you thought about hiring a bunch of small children to help you?
I'll tell you what, man. I'm selling this thing to Daniel B. He's the only person I know that could actually probably take this off my hands at this point.
All right.
Sell it to him for a buck if he comes and picks it up.
All right. So, Brad, what are you working on?
I got a few more of my quote-unquote what-if movie customs, you know, for characters for if there was a G.I. Joe 3. And I got a project that kind of fell in my lap. My wife was kind enough when she went to Dollar General the other day. She came home with a core 2-pack, and she said, well, I thought you might could use these. And I'm like, well, you know, I'll see what I can do. And I didn't want to hurt her feelings. Then one of the figures I kind of noticed looked like Dennis's Nighthawk figure. So I figure I'll go ahead and customize that up. I got some of my other parts. I'm going to send them in a trade. So I'm going to go ahead and make that kind of the animated version of Nighthawk and send it to him for him and his son to play with.
Well, yeah, Dennis. How do you like that? People making customs of you.
I think
that'll teach him, Pilo.
Yeah. I'm just going to take that topic and run with it. Have you guys ever done that? Have you ever gotten like an action figure or something from somebody who knows that you collect and just kind of have that, oh, wow, I love Star Trek or whatever you happen to get that just isn't in your ballpark at all?
Many times over the years. But you know what? I'm so appreciative for the fact that they actually thought of me. That it really doesn't even matter if it's something I collect or not.
Yeah.
Sadly, it's usually something I do collect.
Well, that's a good thing about collecting everything.
Yeah.
I will say it is one of the benefits of being a customer. It's like, even if I can't use it, there's no usable part in it. I know somebody who can, you know, so it never goes to waste.
Exactly.
I got a rock.
Actually, I have things I could do with those.
As long as it's not a crack rock.
Yeah.
Crack rock and Everclear. We already heard of Jeff earlier.
I know. Different little dioramas I've done, and I've gone out in the yard and picked up rocks out of the yard and painted them a little bit more detail than what the rock itself has and glued it onto a base. This happened. I made a thing. I just remembered how many years ago, but I made this little deal, and it needed to have a dirt base. And I went outside and got a whole crap load of dirt and mixed up some glue in with it and packed it onto the base around where I needed it and did all the stuff with it. Once the glue dried, it's like it was like cement, but it looked like dirt. Like it was supposed to be.
And then the neighbors called the cops and said, hey, that guy's stealing my freaking lawn again.
Dan, what about you?
Well, I started a new project this week. As you guys remember in our last podcast, we talked about that incredibly cool skull throne that I got from Nova. And once I finished that up, I decided I needed a companion piece to go with it. So I'm working on, when I made that piece, I referred to it as the Iron Throne of Death. So I came up with the companion piece, which is the Iron Throne of War. And there's a throne completely covered in swords and hatchets and shields and all sorts of other stuff. And so far right now, I know I sent some pictures to you, John.
Yeah.
You get to see some work in progress shots. There's 83 swords and other accessories glued to it at the moment. And that's only on the back of the chair. So I still have to do the bottom and the sides and the where the cushions are going to go and everything else. I have gone through every bladed weapon in my fodder box. I still have a bunch of them, but there's still a few I need a few more of to just to add some diversity. So when I get back from vacation next week, I'm going to throw up a little thing on the my swap shop looking for like the wavy swords that came with the Night Creeper.
Yeah.
And some of the more like unusual blades just to add a little variety aside from the straight blades and the curved like Persian blades. Something went beautifully.
As soon as you showed the throne, the skull throne, I was like, oh man, I really want to make, you know, a custom version of that with the swords, you know, just right out of the TV show. And I went to my fodder box and was like, I had 2 dozen swords. I'm like, that's not enough.
No, like I told you, I've only done the back of the chair, literally the backrest, and it's 83 weapons already.
Yeah. Hey, where are you going on vacation?
I'm going down to Orlando, Florida.
You going to Disney World?
No Disney, Universal.
Harry Potter World?
Well, yeah, we're going to see that. We're also going down. The main reason we're going down is for Halloween Horror Nights, which is an incredible thing they do. They turn the entire park into haunted attractions. And we're going. We go try to go every year. It's fantastic. My wife and I love it.
I don't know if it's still there or not, but there used to be a place on Church Street. It was called the Terror on Church Street. And the bottom level was like a makeup shop and had masks and everything. Then the top level was like a haunted house. And I mean, it was a year round deal. I don't know if it's still in business or not, but it was pretty cool.
I'll have to take a look. That's in Orlando?
Yeah, in Orlando. Right down with the main mall.
All right. I'm going to have to look into that while we're down there because we got a couple days to kill while we're down there. We'll be there for 5 days.
Well, if I remember correctly, Downtown Disney is still free. Don't need the park entrance. And they have like the Disney store there that has the Star Tours stuff. Just throwing that out there.
That's where I'm going. I'm buying every single version available of the R6, R8, and R9 droids. I figured out every color variation there is. There's going to be 13 of them. So I'm getting all of them.
You know, can you do me a favor and just push your glasses up on your face right now?
I do that every couple of minutes anyway. Yeah, I told my wife we're going down there. I got like $200 set aside just for like crap from the Disney store.
Nice.
Yeah. Then that's on top of anything else we're going to buy while we're down there.
I just tripped over your pocket protector.
Yeah, but I'm leaving the rest of the figures. All the various other R models. I've already got a ton of those in a bag in my parts box. I can paint them up any color I want. But the 6, the 8, and the 9 is only available from Disneyland. So.
Cool.
All this teasing is just out of love. You know that, right?
Oh, of course, yeah. Big geeks.
You notice I'm not teasing you because I envy you.
Well, I've been wanting to do this for a while to go down and get all the Disney figures.
That'd be neat to go to sometime. I got it in the schedule of wanting to go down there during Halloween one year.
So. It's definitely worth it. It is fantastic. This year they're doing, for the second year in a row, they're doing The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And it was incredible last year. I can't wait to see this year. This year they're going to focus on Wolverine.
What the heck?
Oh, was somebody playing video games?
Yeah, it's in my palm.
I think The Walking Dead got Joe.
Dude, I'm seriously hearing palm.
Yeah, no, yep. I hear video game noises.
Chuck, oh.
Well, it sounded like a toilet flush. Just
yeah. that was...
He had to do the prefer.
Yeah, that was Jeff. I don't know what's going on with his... Oh, look, everything's working great on Skype tonight. Yeah, thanks a lot, Dan.
Sorry, I was bad. I'll go sit in the corner now.
For work, the G.I. Joe discussion group on Facebook is doing a Halloween-themed contest, and one of the prizes is the Toxolab. Yeah, I don't think I'll win. There's way too many talented people in there. But I have a Halloween. I was going to do it anyway. I found a little diorama prop that I'm going to fit into it. And I thought I'd make a cool picture. I just didn't know of what. And as soon as they announced the contest, I started brainstorming what G.I. Joe Halloween theme I could come up with, and just had a really cool idea that I've started working on. Just, yeah, you know, I'll just say that it's a cult thing. So I'm doing something like that.
Army of Darkness?
Not telling.
I think a great entry for that product, for that contest, would be to have a bunch of the old Spy Troops figures with their crappy Spy Troops gear on. And they'll be like looking at the one that's supposed to be Scrap Iron. They're like, dude, that looks nothing like him. What are you doing? Oh, or the Toxo Viper one that Tomorak came with.
I was actually digging through my helmets and stuff and found the Lady J Baroness face mask that just has like the hair, the bangs on the side of it.
Yeah, they fit right under her hat.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, yeah, that would have worked.
I don't think there's a single one of those disguises that would have worked at all. They were just terrible, terrible cuss.
I sure think the Scuba Commander didn't work.
No, not the least.
That he did come with some cool gear though.
Oh yeah, a lot of those accessories were great for add-on armor pieces and whatnot, mm-hmm. but for disguising yourself as another character, no. They should have just came with a little screwdriver for you to unscrew the back and just switch the heads on a figure, screw it back.
Yeah.
Look, it's Shipwreck. This guy's Cobra Commander. It's Shipwreck head on a Cobra Commander body.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you gotta be thankful for the Joe versus Cobra and Spy Troops and DTC because they were kind of experimenting as to what we're going to get in the 25th line and the modern era. It's a testing the waters and they tested pretty good.
I would love to see the Spy Troops concepts actually revisited in the modern line.
Oh yeah.
With stuff that worked really well. Mm-hmm. Like thinner armor pieces instead of those giant chunky rubber pieces.
Yeah.
I think it would be fantastic. But even if they did it as like a small subset for part of like the 50th anniversary next year, when they could do like a little bit of each of the different history of Joe, I would love to see a modern take on Spy Troops. Especially now with all the removable gear on the figures anyway.
I'd love to see them do an evolution set, kind of like they did with Star Wars, where you get you have a 3¾-inch figure of, you know, your basic take on Joe, and you move to Super Trooper, and you move to, you know, a Real American Hero, and you just keep going through, and they're, you know, like a 6 or 7 figure set where it kind of shows the evolution.
I like to see it all done in modern style. I don't want to see it done in a O-ring anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, Jeff. Are you back with us?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Who did that to me?
It was Paul.
Yeah, you were...
So, in other words, everybody?
No, the Pong Monster got you, that's all.
With Pong and Super Breakout.
No, I officially hung up on you. You were just coming electronic garbage.
Nice.
It was almost techno.
Techno was chopping on his butt.
It sounded like a Transformer from the movie.
What were you guys talking about while I was gone?
We talked about spy troops and how a modern take on that could work.
I don't have anything to add to that conversation. Let's go on to the next thing.
Let's talk about the mascot contest, since the voting on the site is going to end by the time, it has long ended by the time this will air. What do you guys think of the turnout and who's ahead in that? Thank you.
Well, the turnout was fantastic. There's so many great entries.
Yeah, that's a nice turnout for a lot of people that participated.
So I want to do a quick aside here. Do you think that we had a good turnout because we had good prizes, or do you think we had a good turnout because it was a good contest?
It was a good contest.
A good contest, yeah.
Both?
It was a mix of a lot of stuff.
I mean, like a meaningful contest, you know, this contest means something.
Yeah, it was a good contest. It was meaningful. I think the name of the site's gotten out there a little bit more, and people are getting more willing to participate in different things now. And having prizes never hurts anything, of course. So, I mean, I think it's a combination of several things, really.
Yeah, I mean, the prize package is it's really good. I mean, the SDCC thing that Goggles donated, Bucky and Hypno Hulser donating a bunch of loose figures into it, including the Dollar General Wave 2 that a lot of people had trouble finding. I just thought the prize package was really good. And then on top of that, yeah, I mean, it was open-ended. It allowed for a lot of creativity and... Yeah, knowing that whatever you come up with is going to be with the site for a while. I mean, there's some bragging rights to that.
Oh.
Don't all agree with me at once. That's fine.
So let's talk about what can we talk about? I mean, obviously... It's coming up on the end of voting, and then it moves to the judges and stuff. I mean, can we really talk about anything at this point?
I can't, because I'm a judge, and I don't want to sway people's opinion until it's over, not even yours. But I can say I'm definitely happy with the ones, like any of the ones that are in the running right now. I'd be happy with any of them. You know, no matter what the popular opinion is, I'd be honestly happy with any single one of them.
I think there's a lot of creativity. I mean, there's a lot of options from different, you know, different decks of the customizing world. And it's not just, you know, brick and mortar. It's kind of like, you got this take and you got that take, and, you know, they all work.
Yeah, a lot of creativity was shown. The one that was almost like Two-Face, or is half unfinished, half finished. That was pretty cool. The robot one I thought was great. It's just, everybody really put their all into this contest.
So, hands up, who on this podcast right now has one in the running?
Not me.
I do.
Do you?
I got a horse in the race.
Yeah, I actually had one, and then a buddy of mine showed me the one he was entering, which almost to a fault was exactly what I was planning on doing. And so I just didn't even enter mine because I didn't want to put another one in that was the same. And so therefore would just draw those away from the one I was. Nothing.
Well, even aside from if I'm a judge or whatever, I usually, unless it's a low turnout, I try not to get involved in any of those myself. So, but if it's a low turnout, I'll try to throw something in to help. Show participation and trying to encourage others to jump in, but it was a good turnout with this one, so they didn't really need nothing to help pad it.
You know, it's weird. I was talking to somebody privately. They said they really wanted to do something, but they couldn't they couldn't get their head around what kind of idea they could do. And I mentioned not a specific idea, but just some really general ideas of like different approaches. And there were a lot, you know, there might have been like a half dozen different ideas. I just kind of spitballed, you know, you can do anything. You can do this. You can do that. You can do this, just to give an idea of where they could come from. And one of the ideas I'd mentioned, somebody actually did. Not him.
Nice.
You know, so I was really impressed with the creativity. We had, I mean, you had a robot, you had a guy with a robot backpack, you have the split one, you have, you know, just some awesome stuff. Some real people really took the ball and ran with. RoboCop's gun made an appearance. I mean, come on.
All we needed was Lance in your pants.
Oh, do you guys want pictures of that?
See, we missed a prime example. We could have had like a hamster mascot.
Oh, low blow.
Hey, John, what's on your workbench?
I already told him the G.I. Joe discussion group, working on that Halloween entry.
You probably did that when you shut off my microphone.
When Jeff was overtaken by Pong.
So the top three vote getters on the site, we'll take those and we'll confer with the other judges. J-Man, Zombie Guide, Jar Viper, and some other forum members who I'm blanking on right now.
Joe Czar,
and Beav. We'll all get together and decide a winner that best represents the site. And they get all the prizes. The top winner gets all the prizes, including a D&J Cobra missile base that I got and haven't done anything with it since. Somebody's going to get one of those that we just talked about.
We should really get Camper and Beav on here for like kind of a Joe Customs flashback episode.
Maybe Camper, but I don't think Brad wants to come on.
Really?
He doesn't like us anymore?
No. Every time at the con, I put a mic in front of him, it was Joe Customs. You know, playfully, but I'm just kidding. There'd be a lot of swearing, I'm sure.
It'll be none of laser sounds when you get to hear it.
It was hard for Brad to talk around all that in his mouth. What? What?
Different Brad. Just make sure you say different Brad.
That just became a new ringtone. Oh, boy.
When I first met him years ago, I really thought that his Beav, I thought, was short for Beverly.
Well, hold on. Did you just say short for Beverly?
Yes.
Well, I thought originally.
Awesome.
Years ago, when I first met him, and I seen his screen name and the way he posted and all that, I thought, he was a
girl. P-Love, you got to put that in the podcast.
Are you kidding? That's a sound bite on the front.
Yeah, I even told him that, though, because I think we were in chat or something, and he was talking, and other people that knew him better than I did at the time was talking to him, and that's what, I forgot what brought it up, but that's what I asked, isn't your name short for Beverly? And he was like, oh, no.
No, I'm probably the last person to be making fun of people's screen names. But that's funny.
Speaking of chat, do you guys ever really miss chat? I mean, I met a lot of, you know, got to know a lot of you guys one-on-one, you know, back when they had chat.
Yeah, chat was fun. I miss chat. I remember when I was out on disability from my accident, I basically just spent the whole day sitting in front of the chat talking to people.
Chat's heyday was pre-Facebook, right?
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
Definitely.
Do you think that bringing chat back now would be worthwhile?
Probably not.
I don't think people spend as much time, you know, lengths of time on the site as they used to, now that they have other things, like you said, like Facebook. So I don't know if chat would be worth bringing back.
That was one of the reasons why we dropped it. Nobody was using it at the time. Like, I know people did use it, but at the time, it hadn't been used in, like, months. You know, because it was right around when Facebook was starting to take off. And it just wasn't worth it. And the chat software we had was outdated. We needed to update everything. And it just became another thing where it wasn't a necessity, you know? Technology's kind of moved away from using chat like that.
Yep.
Here's the thing about chat that's different than Facebook is that there are people at Joe Customs who are not friends in real life, right?
Yeah.
Chat would give those people the opportunity to connect that they wouldn't get on Facebook. Like, for instance, Dusty79. Great guy, right? Does some great customs. Probably could ask him some questions or get to know him, but I have no freaking clue what his real name is. Suppose I could go private message him and ask him for his Facebook and go all through that thing. But that level of intimacy that maybe we don't want, you know, like, you know, I wouldn't want to do the same thing with Spectre or something like that, right?
Am I the only one picturing Jeff writing Dusty79 a note saying, do you want to be my friend? Yes, no, maybe.
So I'm just saying that chat would open that up. Oh, can you guys see my middle finger? Do you have a camera on? I'm just saying that maybe there is a part for chat for the site because it would be like Facebook for the site.
I think what chat's pretty much moved to now is podcast type, where people can actually put a microphone on and talk with each other and stuff like that more than being able to type to each other because they can do that on Facebook. I think that's more of the whole thing because even the old chat, people was trying out the microphone and I even tried getting on there, but of course it was such a delay at that time and echoes in it and all that type of thing. And I think if something like that was brought in, an area where people could just put a microphone on and sit in a group discussion talking instead of having to type, I think that would be popular.
Kind of like this.
Yeah, I guess through Skype, but I don't know how many people would want to try to just Skype with each other all the time like that.
We do it once or twice a month.
Yeah, but I just don't know if random people on the site would actually go ahead and just load up a Skype program. Yeah, I mean, if there was, like, say, a link that you could click on Joe Customs and it takes you to whatever it is that, and it launches and all that, I guess they would do it. But that would be the issue, though, trying to figure out a way to get people to feel comfortable doing it. But beyond that, I think if it was a chat of actual talk, speech chat, they would probably be all over it because that's like Xbox and PlayStation and all that. That's part of what's so popular with that. A lot of people don't even give a crap about the games that they play. They just get on there and talk with each other. So
that's true.
Yeah, but at Joe Customs, we don't allow racial epithets and smack talk. That's pretty much all that's on Xbox Live.
Yeah.
You've never lived till you've been called the N-word by a 12-year-old from Kansas. You know?
I'm going to go over the calendar real quick. Coming up, the Fighting 119th, their East Coast Custom Con. Angel Forge is going to be there. Joe Customs, me, I'll be there.
Well, hold up. This is their contest where they're doing the Kumite thing, but you have to actually be there in person, right?
Yep. Dermo is holding that. Yep.
Very cool.
And a live role-playing game they're going to be doing there as well. Not the Joe Customs one. Nothing to do with that. They wanted to, but I'm like, I don't know who else from Joe Customs is going to be there for that. But it sounds really cool. There's going to be some casting, some painting tips, and I haven't figured out exactly what the Joe Customs, you know, segment is going to be, but we'll be there as well. And
I still want to go to that, but I know I'm going to be going program to Florida, so I'm not going to be able to go.
Speaking of other shows where Joe Customs is going to be, Codename Iowa, Assembly Required, November 16th. Joe Czar is going to be there along with who, Jeff? Who else is going to be there?
Well, that's the plan so far. If any, as long as nothing happens, it's me and Hypno making the road trip.
Yeah. We're going to have the Codename Iowa guys on here for our next podcast to talk more about that show, and they're going to have some announcements that they want to be making on our show.
I got one I'm going to try to get into if I can get the time off secured. And I'm going to invite J-Man and Zombie Guide if they want to join us. There's a new show in Pensacola, Florida called Pensacon. It's going to be in February. And I'm going to try to see if I can secure a couple of tables for Joe Customs there.
I'm sorry. Could you say the name of that again?
Pensacon.
Pensacon. Okay.
In Pensacola, Florida. It's going to be in February. I've got the dates, but I don't know them off the top of my head.
Hey, let's go back to Pensacon in 1 second. But before we do that, I'd like to say one thing. We should have a podcast where we call up on live all the people who don't post anymore and just ask them what the fuck.
That's how you do that, and then also do a podcast where you call all of the people that's been banned.
Yeah, we discussed that last week. What do you call it? Getting the band back together?
Yeah, getting the band back together.
Hey, what did you think when you got banned?
No, I don't want to know that. Once again, I'm picturing Jeff going, "What? Are you mad at me? Are we still friends?" Yes, no, maybe.
Why are you guys laughing when you say that? Are you guys mad at me?
No.
Are we still friends?
Maybe.
I'll PM you later.
I have feelings.
For the site.
I got issues that aren't being addressed.
Yep. You still owe me money.
You know, my wife is getting sick of these podcasts and me going to bed crying every time.
You can sit down and send out some emails before you go to bed.
The Rogue States group project, that the deadline for that is October 13th. And then the NJC number 74 Star Trek, the deadline for that is October 28th at noon.
Yeah, they had to announce that one the day after I put up my cool little Keenser custom. Now I can't put it in that contest.
You need to get more of those Creons to see what else you can make out of them.
That's the only one that's even remotely 1/18 scale. The rest of them all little itty bitty pinheads.
I think you can find some inspiration somewhere.
I'm sure I will, but it was just ironic that I did that and then the next day Ronan puts that up. Like, damn,
I
should have called me first.
Yeah, I don't enter NJC anywhere. But this one I'm trying. I just saw the second Star Trek, so I gotta see if I can come up with... I needed inspiration.
I gotta edit in Eye of the Tiger right there, by the way, when you put this together.
Why?
For inspiration. Nothing inspires people like Eye of the Tiger.
Eye of the Tiger.
But don't do more than, like, 17 seconds, otherwise we gotta pay to use it.
Oh, right, 17 seconds.
Or less.
Just get one. Pay to touch it. I got to duck out. I got to be up at 5 for work tomorrow, so it's been fun. I'll catch you guys on the next side.
Yeah.
See you later in a month.
Bye, Brad.
Well, the one thing we didn't do, Outstanding Customs.
Outstanding! Best of the best of the best, sir. With honor.
I gave it a 10!
I can't! Woo! Well, there really wasn't that much that jumped out anyway this past week. There's a couple of decent things like the Mass Customs that Turner is doing.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, it was kind of a slow week for customs, really. I didn't see much that was posted.
There was good stuff, don't get me wrong. There really was. I'm not trying to knock it. I just haven't had the time to delve into it. And what I saw was good, but nothing that really stood out, which...
Oh, what about that awesome skull thrown by that Spectre guy? That thing was cool.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's old news.
I was peeing and Brad cut out. I just wanted to say goodnight, Brad. Oh, he's already gone.
Prince DeLude did that Super Trooper. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, that was actually pretty sharp. That was cool.
Yeah. I liked his take on it. It was a much more, I don't know, Captain America kind of take on it, where it was more, I don't know, still goofy, but had a more realistic take on it.
I didn't feel about that, I didn't like the shield that much. I think it looked obviously like it had been cut down from a riot shield. That's the only thing I didn't like. If he had trimmed off the top of it with like a little bit of an extra raised edge to make it look more like it was meant to look like that,
yeah,
that would have sealed the deal. That was the only complaint I had with that at all. It was a cool take on a goofy character.
I did like he was trying to mimic the original, but yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Hey, who posted a bunch of customs just today?
Oh, no, I hadn't.
Oh.
Crickets?
I haven't looked today.
That Joe Michaels guy. What? Female wild weasel?
Today, so.
Actually, I...
Yeah.
Spectre, somebody, I think it was Dark Jedi. Let me scroll down to see. Oh, yeah, it was Dark Jedi. Wanted to know which Ugnaught I used. You're going to have to answer that because I don't know.
One of the 30th anniversary collection ones, but to tell you the truth, honestly, they were both simply listed as Ugnaught. And it looks like you used the one with the apron as opposed to the one with the shirt tail sticking out. That's the only thing I can say. They have no names.
There you go.
So there you go, Dark Jedi. He used the Ugnaught.
Actually, that's the same exact one I used for Keyser.
Yeah. I love that figure, that custom. That's just a really good use for those Ugnaughts.
That's a cool figure, but I gotta ask, who is Leopold Kurtz, though?
You have to check out the BPRD world.
The Hellboy?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I only know the Hellboy movies. I'm sorry. I read one of the comics and didn't care for it, so I never followed up on it.
Yeah, he's one of the Nazi scientist evil dudes.
Okay. I thought it might have had something to do with Hellboy because of the other figures in the background, but like I just honestly didn't know, so I had to ask.
So why'd you do the double neck ball on that particular figure?
So he could have articulation in the neck. The head itself wouldn't fit on the Ugnaught neck ball, so I had two options. I could either cut down the Ugnaught neck ball to fit inside that Doc Ock head, or I could just glue it on top or stick it on top and it would be solid. So I decided to just make another neck ball on top of that neck ball because it sits on there well enough that it kind of just looks like a neck. But by putting that second neck ball on top and then filling it up with hot glue and then drilling out a little hole for that new neck ball, now he can turn his head, look up, look down a little bit, that kind of thing.
That's definitely a brilliant modification. Yeah. Very, very cool.
And the only thing on your Popeye, he needs a spinach.
I don't have a spinach can yet, but I do have that head, which comes from Angel Forge, which I believe actually is an old Slayer head.
Yeah.
I have the corncob pipe for that guy. I haven't finished painting it or drilling it in yet.
The only thing I would have done with that, and this is strictly a personal preference, I would have gone with his original color scheme. Do you remember he originally had the black shirt black with the red color?
And the blue pants? Is that how it went?
Yeah.
All right. I went with this Popeye is the cartoon Popeye that I remember from my childhood.
Yeah, the syndicated one from the 50s on, yeah.
The only thing I don't like is I feel like I failed on the buttons. I think I'm going to wind up just totally, like, washing that whole body in brown to try to knock back some of those buttons.
Yeah, the only thing, the buttons, it's a little uneven under the move joint.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite line up, but it's not bad at all. Buttons are a pain to paint, I know.
Sometimes when you're dealing with a sculpt, you're trying to, like, do the fine detail like that, and sometimes it's not you, it's just the sculpt. You know, it blends in with the shirt sometimes. I think sometimes you just got to, you know, just do a pinprick on them and just hope that it looks round enough on each one to pull it off.
I'll tell you what I learned about this is that white is not white. And painting white on white is not easy.
No.
No.
Well, you remember the trick I gave on an earlier podcast to use dolphin gray instead of white. Because at this scale, it looks like white.
That's where I go back to my painting section again. If you get the stuff that's made for canvases and all that, white goes on pretty thick and it works a little better than I've seen people having some issues with.
All right, fellas. What else we got?
Well, there's that contest to plug.
Yeah.
The glider contest.
What is the contest going to be?
Contest will be where people will be able to win the new Tiger Force and Python Patrol glider. And it'll consist of three questions, and they'll be posted on Joe Customs' forum. And all you'll have to do is go to the site and answer the questions. But
let's do email. Let's do the contact at Joe Customs, and they can put it in the subject line, D&J Toys Trivia. That's
okay, that'll work.
That's contact@joecustoms.com and put D&J Toys Trivia in the subject header, and then you can answer the questions. Joe will be the final sayer of whether you got the answers right or not.
And they'll be posted just after this podcast is aired. So
it will be the first person that sends in, or you're just going to do a drawing?
I'll say, I would say probably it would be easier to do a drawing because anybody can answer the questions.
Yeah.
Then what I would do is just have like, have a deadline to when people can send in their answers and then do like P-Love does and just print out everybody's name who sent in the correct answers, throw them in a bucket and have somebody draw one, and there's your winner, right?
That works.
Yeah, I could do it that way, or I could even do a YouTube video with anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I've done the YouTube thing, and I got a YouTube channel that I put up some junk. Yeah. I could do that and then post it, and that way everybody actually sees me reach in and pull the name. And
yeah, that way nobody
say it was rigged.
Yeah, you don't want anybody thinking it's rigged when you pull out my name.
How much money you got to have to do it naked?
I honestly thought you were going to say, how much does it cost to enter? And he was going to say nothing, but no.
I never knew. Just to take everything off, I got a fursuit on.
You're not the only one.
Yeah. Yuck.
The Joe Customs Podcast, where you can hear way too much personal information. That can go at the front of the podcast, though.
Joe hasn't brought up tailpipes yet, so we're good.
Yeah. You know, we were talking before about the Ken Viss project or whatever it's called. I had the best idea for one, but I don't have a V1 Hiss to do it with. I gotta see if I can acquire one somewhere.
That's the thing, there's no time limit. You know? Yeah.
So someday if I ever get my hands on one, I got the best one to do.
I tell you, those toy shows, anytime you get a toy show, if you can find one, I mean, a busted version 1 Hiss doesn't go for very much.
Oh, not at all, no. They actually had a bunch of them at NJCC, but honestly, I didn't get the idea for it until maybe 2 or 3 days ago. Whenever they posted the Mystery Sentry, I was looking at it, I was like, yeah, that's actually, you know, an interesting use of that. And then something popped into my head, a completely different, you know, concept. And I was like, yeah, I wish I had a V1 Hiss.
I've got another idea I wanted to do, and I was going to do it. What I had thought about doing is take like a couple pieces of plastic and make it look like rails for a roller coaster, and then mount the Hiss on it, and then cut all of the middle of the top of it loose and fix it where it looked like roller coaster seats with people with their arms up like they're going down the roller coaster. I was wanting to do that one, but that's what my wife had told me. If I do that and I mount it on a base, it's going to be huge, and it's going to be something. If he's going to conventions, it's going to be an extra huge thing he'll have to transport. It'll probably go.
I love your wife for thinking about Kevin and all of the pain it's going to cause him. But I don't think that should stop you. I think
do it anyway.
Yeah, just make that son of a bitch suffer.
I just figured I would have broke anyway.
So oh, dude, 4x8. Get a 4x8 sheet of plywood, lay that whole thing out as a roller coaster, and then send the whole thing to him and say, if he doesn't set it up, it's going to break your heart.
When you do the preview,
so it actually goes around. And
when you do the preview picture, just do the Hiss. Don't show the track.
And then he'll get all excited, and he'll be like, yeah, send that to me. And then just send him the whole works. And then fucking throw a brick in that box, too. And tell him if that cement block doesn't show up at the con, you're going to be so sad. Tell him if he's not going to set that cement block up with the roller coaster, just send the whole thing back. First class.
Get paid for it. Yeah.
Priority mail, maybe.
Personal courier.
You know what? I don't want to put you out, man. Don't do the roller coaster. Let's do this instead. Everybody at Joe Customs that's listening to this podcast, send Kevin Watts a cement block.
This message not brought to you by JoeCustoms.com. Wait, do you guys...
Scribe, Hiss tank, however you want it, paint it, or use a knife and etch it, or...
I would not play pranks on Kevin Watts. I would not.
Get you back.
Yep. And probably worse.
Yeah, it'll probably involve pubes.
I've seen what he does to his friends.
Yeah, like his shipwreck blow up doll.
Yeah.
A jumpy little foot hand.
Also, never take a shower at his house.
Just <saying. Damn. laughs> I don't even want to know how you know.
That was like number 14 on the things I'm worried about.
Morning after a bunch of tears.
And the title of the podcast goes to. All right. Anything else?
I think we covered all the bases.
Anything need to be said differently or cleaned up?
Screw it over from the beginning. We'll go back. Yeah.
Hi, I'm John P. Love.
I'm Jeff, also known as Joe Michael, 70.
Yeah, I might want to plug that back in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't I say that up front?
No.
Yeah, I think we missed you.
No, you said your full name. And
you said my name, you...
Oh, that's right.
Y'all asked me what was my favorite moment on the podcast.
Did you guys drop me again?
No. No, what'd you say?
I don't know. I can't hear you. Yep, he's on Pong again.
No. Pong have returned.
I didn't do that one. For the record, I didn't drop him that time.
You trying to come back?
All right, on behalf of Jeff, have a good night. Thanks so much, guys.
Good night. See you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I hope we'll be able to do it again.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back on.
Yeah, I can come on anytime, just to shoot the breeze.
Hey, it was definitely fun getting to talk to you, so it was very
cool. Yeah.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
All right. See you on the boards.
Once again, the world is a safe place to be, thanks to the G.I. Joe team of experts. G.I. Joe, a real American hero.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Adkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Good.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's all right.
I say goodbye for you.
But it's not the same.
I know.
Why are you laughing? This is why my wife says I can't do this anymore.
So is there anything you'd like to add?
No.
Go watch Game of Thrones with your wife.
Oh my god, it's so anticlimactic these days. I always feel like I should get like the last word in, but instead I just get hung up on.
No.
Goes away.
This time it wasn't my fault. I went to ask you, like, do you have anything to add? And you dropped. I didn't drop you this time.
Everybody was calling up R2-D2.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like on our end, too. It was like...
So it's just me and you?
Yes. Yeah.
This is why you... podcast. We should just call each other now and again.
This is why we don't have a two-man podcast. All right, say goodnight so I can stop.
Goodnight, Dan.